Salut et bienvenue à Rendez-vous. Si vous n'avez pas savoir, Rendez-vous est un podcast pour le SHF. Nous parlons à propos de toutes les choses françaises pour les élèves de Basis Awatuki. Je m'appelle Raya, le vice-président de SHF, and I have Giselle, le président de SHF, avec moi aujourd'hui. If you haven't already, you can follow SHF sur Instagram pour toutes les mises à jour at Awatuki SHF. For this episode, we'll be covering some spine-chilling stories from France for this fall season. Halloween isn't as celebrated in France as it is in the US, but there is still the holiday La Toussaint, or All Hallows Day, on November 1st. Not to worry though, France still has its fair share of les shows de horreur and terror. Since it's October, that means it's Halloween season. J'ai trouvé des histoires intéressantes to share today. La première histoire pour aujourd'hui is about a couple who lived in Paris in the 1920s. They were to meet at the top of the Eiffel Tower for a rendezvous. Now obviously this sounds like it's going to be a romantic story, no? Well, there's actually un rebondissement, a twist, parce que they both had different plans. The man wanted to propose, but the woman wanted to break up with the man. Quand ils se sont rencontrés, la dame était tellement écœurée et dégoûtée, you know, sickened and disgusted, that she backed away so fast from the man that she slipped and fell over the railing to her mortal death. Some say that till this day, when you stand in the place exactly where she fell, you can hear slight mischievous giggles followed by un cri sanglant, a bloody scream.
Oh mon dieu, that is a pretty gruesome death, and to fall from nearly 300 meters. Since they both had different intentions, with that guy showing up to propose and the girl wanting to break up, I can understand why she reacted the way she did, but it's still so unfortunate how she ended up dying. I'm also kind of wondering where this whole idea of proposing in front or on top of the Eiffel Tower came from, because I know that there are a lot of other landmarks like the Colosseum in Rome or even Central Park in New York City that are popular destinations to propose. Alors, j'espère que the Eiffel Tower has a lot better safety precautions now than it did in the 1920s.
Autre histoire was based in the catacombs. If you don't know what the catacombs are, basically, the French needed a better place to bury their dead during le XIIIe siècle, the 13th century. France was becoming a European hub with a growing population. Cela signifie beaucoup plus de corps à enterrer. That also meant, 6 to 7 million dead bodies, graves were starting to overflow. To top that off, there were seasons of prolonged rain, so a number of corpses were getting unburied and spilling out into people's properties. Ce n'est pas le milieu situation. So the officials of France decided to create the catacombs to underground. Et maintenant Paris a 200 kilometers de tunnels souterrains. Spooky, no? Cette histoire tournait autour d'hommes qui travaillent dans un hôpital militaire. Basically, he wanted to keep une cachette secrète d'alcool and thus decided the best place to hide it was in the catacombs. He had a way of entering the catacombs through a secret passage in a garden. Here's where the spooky part comes. One day, he goes down to get some liquor from his stash and gets caught by une figure mysterious, un religious, otherwise known as a nun. Unfortunately for the man, the nun did not admire his deed and killed him as a punishment.
To be killed by a nun in some catacombs, now that just doesn't happen very often. Dans la classe, we actually ended up learning about the catacombs and its history too. And we watched this video where this other man is running from something or someone. We don't really know. And the video ends with the camera falling to the ground, and the man is last seen running off into the distance and the dark. No one knows what happened to him either, and his body didn't end up showing up anywhere. Honestly, I feel like I would definitely get lost in the catacombs by myself. I mean, I can barely make it out of a corn maze, even with three other people with me. But that does make me wonder how many people exactly disappear under there every year.
Finalement, nous avons une dernière histoire sur une rue mystérieuse in the picturesque Île de la Cité. Le personnage fictif Sweeney Todd from London ou le barbier démon de Fleet Street was inspired by this French tale. Basically, un coiffeur français had set his shop sur la rue Chanoinesse. He often offered special prices to foreign students and thus would mysteriously reel them dans son atelier, his shop. The barber killed these students and others perhaps with a rasoir and disposed the bodies in the kitchen near his shop. In this kitchen, the body remains would then be butchered and baked into pies by the local baker. Ironiquement, à l'époque, cette ville était réputée pour ses délicieux pâtes et ses pâtes à la viande. It is said that due to the notorious barking of an authority's dog that alerted locals, the unsavory preparations behind these closed doors was revealed. Since then, the site has been turned into a police station, and a piece of the original stone foundation of the old building has also been kept intact inside the garage.
This reminds me a lot about H.H. Holmes, the notorious killer during the construction of Chicago's World Fair, and one of the characters you'll see from Devil in the White City. Shout out to AP Lang and Miss Gertler's class. Holmes did a lot of the same things, except for him, he was reeling in women. As for the pies, it's so strange how people were enjoying these pies and not questioning them. I mean, even though meat pies and pâtés were quote-unquote in back then, I still think people should have been able to pick up on the difference. But who knows, maybe the baker just had exceptional meat pies and pâtés. Luckily, there was the dog that alerted the locals, and I think it's cool, albeit pretty creepy, that now there's a police station in lieu of Sweeney Todd's lair.
C'est une interprétation intéressante de l'histoire. Generally, I think my favorite story out of these three was La Première Histoire about the couple, parce que, I mean, who gets that grossed out? C'est sans doute l'histoire que j'ai pour vous tout aujourd'hui, and now I will pass it over to our president Giselle to talk about the dark history of different fairy tales.
Tout le monde sait l'histoire tumultueuse de France, comme la reine de terreur pendant la Révolution française où la guillotine était un motif horrible. Ce n'est pas un surprise que le monde littéraire avait des détails tordus aussi. Par exemple, Les Bossus de Notre-Dame de Paris par Victor Hugo. Hugo est né pendant les débuts du 19e siècle et son histoire classique française est bien amée, mais il avait une histoire sombre. Alors, la version que la plupart des gens savent est probablement par Walt Disney, où Esmeralda s'éveille de Frollo, l'artistiqueur malfaisant, et Quasimodo peut vivre avec les autres paysans. Cependant, dans la version originale par Victor Hugo, Esmeralda est morte parce qu'elle a bu sur les pales et Quasimodo a disparu et puis réapparu comme un squelette plein d'eau de Esmeralda. Pretty gruesome, vous pensez?
Ah oui, c'est ça très gruesome. I didn't even know that that version of the story existed, and that one Frollo dude was so creepy when he had that song showing his infatuation for Esmeralda. I just thought it was weird that Disney even included such a creepy song like that. In case you didn't know what song I'm talking about, it's called Hellfire in both the Disney and Broadway version.
Yep, I totally agree, and I'm not gonna lie, to this day, I'll still end up listening to the Broadway soundtrack and the Disney version, and that song called Hellfire really gives me goosebumps every single time. Les gargoyles qui chantent dans le film aussi avaient les racines sinistrées. Il y a un long temps, les gargoyles étaient les dragons qui vivent sur la rivière Seine à Paris. Le chancelier de Rouen a essayé à éliminer les gargouilles avec un crucifix et le feu, mais il se rend compte que les têtes des gargouilles ne pouvaient pas brûler. En conséquence, le chancelier a mis les têtes des gargouilles sur les églises à épouvanter les autres esprits sinistrés. Vous pouvez voir ces figures aujourd'hui sur les églises médiévales comme les Notre-Dame. Pour des raisons évidentes, Disney ne peut pas montrer la version originale de Victor Hugo. Mais est-ce que tu as une préférence pour une version? Et quand tu étais jeune, quelle version aurais-tu préférée?
Je préfère la version de Disney parce que it has a happy ending and isn't as sad. I have to refresh my memory on the Disney version, but it's satisfying how the bad guy Frollo dies and the good people in the story survive.
Néanmoins, la française ne finit pas l'histoire avec une note heureuse en général. Tu veux voir cette tendance dans les films particulièrement et c'est très différent que les films américains aujourd'hui. De plus, Charles Perrault a écrit les histoires effrayantes. Il est connu pour les classiques comme Cendrillon, Cinderella, Les Chats de Beauté, Puss in Boots, La Belle au Bois Dormant, Beauty and the Beast et finalement Barbe Bleue, Bluebeard. On entre les contes de fées sombres et le petit chaperon rouge, Little Red Riding Hood. Raya, est-ce que tu peux dire l'histoire que tu sais?
So basically, Little Red Riding Hood sees her grandma is sick and prepares a basket of food for her. And then she sets for a voyage to her house. On her voyage, she encounters a wolf who wants her food, but she refuses to give it to him, and this angers the wolf. So the wolf goes to the grandma's house and eats the grandma and pretends to be her. When Little Red Riding Hood goes to her grandma's house, she notices that her grandma has all these big features, you know, like her ears, her eyes, and nose. She eventually realizes that it's the wolf, and then she screams really loud, and the woodcutter nearby hears her and shoots the wolf. And then after the wolf is dead, they are able to cut open the wolf's stomach and get the grandma out, and then they have a happily ever after.
Cependant, dans la version de Perrault, il n'y a pas un boucheron qui sauve le petit chaperon rouge et sa grand-mère. Le loup mange plutôt les deux personnages et l'histoire a fini. La citation d'original a dit « Ma mère grande, que vous avez des grands yeux, c'est pour mieux voir mon enfant. Ma mère grande, que vous avez des grandes dents, c'est pour te manger. » Et en disant ces mots, le méchant loup se jetait sur le petit chaperon rouge et l'a mangé. Alors, the story ends right there, with nothing else. À mon avis, je pense que l'histoire moderne est plus intéressante. Tu as les boucherons galants qui go through all of these crazy ends to rescue Little Red Riding Hood and her grandmother. Mais je pense que la version originale était directe pour une bonne raison. Avec la morale de l'histoire, les enfants, particulièrement les jeunes, should never talk to strangers, especially the charming and unassuming kind. Si tu ajoutes l'acte de héros comme les boucherons, la sévérité de la leçon a diminué.
I agree with you that the story can come out with the wrong perception about talking to strangers, but I still like the happily ever after version because it still gives good vibes to, like, you know, little children who are reading these stories, and you want to make sure that they're feeling safe and okay. However, I think when this original version came out, it was more common for children to read texts like this, and we can see that over time, the perspective of how these stories should be structured and, you know, published has become more generous and nice.
Oui, c'est ça. C'est très bizarre à voir comment cette histoire a changé après beaucoup d'années et comment les gens ont ajouté une fin heureuse. Les peuples sont enclins à lire à propos de la fin heureuse, mais nous pouvons voir ici encore. These écrivains français are not afraid to dabble in the dark realm of storytelling. Alors, that's a wrap for this episode. We hope you enjoyed these French horror stories from the past, and don't forget to check out our Instagram page at AwatukiSHF to get all the new updates. We hope to see you at the next rendezvous.